Grace be unto you and your peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text upon which we meditate briefly comes from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, where Christ says, I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. That is the text. So friends in Christ Jesus. A father whose only daughter was 17 years old, he was going through a kind of dying because the daughter was going away to college. The father and daughter had been very close, and now he was beginning to feel the pain of separation. They had visited the campus of the college, and he recognized that he was moving into a world that could no longer be his world. No longer would he have the same opportunity to counsel, to guide, and to protect her. You see, he was finding it difficult to let go. But after they had caught him, and he had shed some real tears, then he was able to move and reach down to the roots of his Christian faith, and to move through this experience. And he reported that, I found that because I was able to relinquish and let her go, that we developed a new relationship. I even took joy and found joy in her new life. In fact, I am finding for myself a new kind of life. You see, this wasn't only a kind of dying for me, it was also a resurrection. Now, this is a very simple incident. There's nothing startling. It's really quite common. Every parent experiences at one time or another. And those of you who are first-year seminarians may well be experiencing something of this. Dying to one way of life while you're adjusting to the change of a new life. I know that the five of us who are new on the staff and faculty are experiencing what it means to change from a college situation to an academic situation. It's really quite a change. Very different. And some of us, three of us, came from coastal areas, one from the East Coast and two from the West Coast. Now, some of you may have lost sight of this and not be too sensitive to it, but there are other lifestyles than that represented by this particular area. And to come from a coastal area, well, this is quite a change. It's a new boundary. It's a form of cultural stuff. One of the advantages that perfectly is that Johnny Carson comes on at 10:30 instead of 11. But the point of it all is simply this, that in all our life situations of change, if we could begin to see our life the way the Lord Jesus sees it and speaks about it here in the gospel lesson and in our text, then although doors may be closed, other new doors will also be opening. And there's no better way to do it than to look, say, at the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John, and this gospel, where easily is divided into two areas, beginning with the account of the wedding of Cana. John presents us with a series of what we can call resurrection signs, some mighty work that Jesus performed, this miracle of changing the water into wine. Here Jesus is telling us that he is in the business of working transformation. Water into wine, sour into joy, death into life, sickness into health. And these resurrection signs, mighty miracles, continue all the way through chapter 11, where the last of the mighty signs is recounted, and that's the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And this is a mighty resurrection sign, and it's at this point that Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And then a new theme begins with the 12th chapter on to the end. And here we find all the time is given over to God's great and powerful sign of the death and the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, it's a pivotal point between these two main sections of John's Gospel. Jesus pronounces a little metaphor which is so simple that we may tend to gloss over it and not notice the profound meaning it has for our lives. Because at this point, Jesus begins talking about his own death. And he speaks about his soul as troubled. He's aware that the enemy is moving in, and he knows that if he persists in doing things the way he has been doing them, he will soon die. And then Jesus begins to talk about the grain of wheat, a little seed. And he says, unless the seed dies, there can be no new life. First death, then life. And this is really a common theme found in all of nature. Jesus tells us to look at the world of nature. And what do we see? God acted through this process of dying and resurrection. Oh, there are many theories of life and how it unfolds. There's the theory of inevitable progress. Day by day, we're getting better and better. Or there's the Oriental theory in which a person goes round and round in circles until his karma has built up and he breaks out of this confinement circle and then returns as a drop to the ocean in the absolute, in the infinite. But what Jesus says too in this gospel is that the way life unfolds in nature, for history, for the world, and for us as individuals, the way it really is through a process of death and resurrection. That is constantly working, transforming, changing. Now, in order to appreciate this, we also have to take the death part seriously. Sometimes we read poetry that speaks about dying happily. We sometimes talk that way. But here in the Gospel of John, we see a side of death that tells us that we also need to take it seriously. For there is a sense here in which we see Jesus not being happy, as we usually understand the term. He speaks of trouble in his soul. Oh, we know of his tears at the death of his friend, his anguish in Gethsemane. We know of the pain he experienced when he was betrayed and abandoned by his friends, his loneliness when the disciples couldn't stay awake while he was praying in Gethsemane. We've heard the anguish as he speaks from Calvary's cross. So what John here is trying to tell us is that death is death. And in order to experience the joy and power of the resurrection, you need to recognize that first. You see, some of the recent literature on death and dying would have us believe that death really isn't much. There's really no price to pay. All we do is step lightly into the glory of life after life. Just by happy. But the New Testament reminds us that death is death after all. It's real death. It's pain and anxiety and deprivation and sometimes anger, all these very real human things. But the New Testament also says, let's praise and thank God because his resurrection is also true. At the very time of this dying, praise God, because at the very moment you most feel the pain, the Lord draws you, and with him you can lead you this experience to a glorious new life. There is a sense in which St. Paul talks about the death of the body as the culmination of a series of little deaths and resurrections. Paul calls physical death the last end. And it's a very real to all of us who love life. And there are ways to face it, with courage and with joy, but never with this superficial happiness. There's this haunting story about a wealthy merchant in Baghdad who sent his servant to the marketplace to anoint him. And as he was in the marketplace, the servant saw the figure of death moving among the people. And he noticed that death seemed to look at him menacingly. And he panicked, he rushed home to his master, begged his master to let him get out of the city because of his encounter there with death. In fact, he wanted to flee to the city called Samaria. Well, the merchant had pity upon his servant and gave him his finest white Arabian. And the servant immediately galloped off to Samaria. Later that day, the merchant himself went to the market and he saw the figure of death moving about, and he approached him and said, "Well, now why did you look so threateningly at my servant this morning?" To which death responded, saying, "I wasn't looking at him threateningly. I was surprised to see him in the city of Baghdad. Because, you see, I have an appointment with him tonight in Samaria." There's something haunting and troubling about this, but there are a few things that you can do to delay that appointment that you have with death. You can fasten a seatbelt, you can eat properly, you can exercise, and maybe you can quit smoking. And when you look at this story head on, there is a dangerous fatalism that comes through. And yet there is a truth in this story that is true. Inevitably, we have to face the time of death. And the Lord helps us with that by throughout life giving us opportunities of little dying and little resurrection. And he reminds us in our text, "I will not leave you desolate." Another translation puts it this way, "I will not leave you orphaned. I will come back to you. You see me as one who has life, and I will give you life." And also he has promised not just life, not just getting by, but he wants us to have life abundantly. And so as we move from one experience to another with the Lord in our path, we can be filled with joy and victory. Amen. In the name of the God of peace himself, sanctify you whole and preserve your body and soul and spirit blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.